there tonight, but she wish she could have been here. If you'd open your Bibles tonight to Isaiah 55:11, and then hold your finger there and turn to Acts 1:8 also. Acts 1:8. I want to preach tonight on the Great Commission. Isaiah 55:11. By the way, I appreciate the good crowd here on Sunday night. Praise the Lord. There's more here than I was than the last time I was here. Praise God. And it's good to see it. Good to see it. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And by the way, notice there, it'll prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You know, folks, we got to get it out there so God can send it. Amen. I mean, if we don't get it out there, God can't send it. Amen. Now come to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, we pray you bless your word tonight and bless this church. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to talk to you tonight about the Great Commission. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, by the way, if this lens pops out here tonight while I'm preaching, don't. I'm just going to keep going. I'll just have to do it with one lens. I'm in bad shape this trip. I grabbed a shirt out of my closet. I didn't realize the neck. I got fat this winter, brother, and didn't realize the neck. I can't even button my stupid collar, and my lens is popping out of my glasses. I'm kind of an invalid up here tonight. But anyway, I'm going to keep going anyway, right? But I want to speak tonight on the Great Commission. And why is the Great Commission great? Well, it's great because, number one, those are the last words of Jesus Christ before he left the earth. You know, usually when you hear somebody maybe dying and they're in bed and they give you their last words, you know, we kind of sometimes remember those things, don't we? Well, these were some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended up into heaven. And he reiterated the thought many times. He said in Mark 16:15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew 28, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." In Luke 24, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts 20:21, he said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." In Acts, I believe 5:41, Paul says, "Daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." The thought is reiterated there in Acts 20:20, where Paul says, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." God says, "Warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." He said, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." He said back there in Ezekiel chapter 3, "Son of man, I have heard the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." So the thought is reiterated over and over again that God wants his gospel to go out. Amen. And why does God want his gospel to go out? Well, number one, the gospel glorifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he deserves all the glory. Amen. Because he's the God-man. He's the creator. And what did the creator do? He humbled himself and came down here to earth. He led a sinless, perfect life. He never sinned one time. He never cussed or swore. He never lied or stole anything. He never committed an immoral act. He never had a dirty thought. He never lusted after another woman. He never looked at a pornographic picture. He never got drunk. He never got high. He never sinned one time. Amen. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And not only did he lead a sinless, and by the way, if he would have sinned one time, he couldn't have been our Savior. Amen. He wouldn't have been the spotless Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And so he didn't. And not only did he live that sinless, perfect life, he went about doing good. He went about doing good. He helping people, ministering to people, encouraging people, preaching to people, witnessing to people, healing people, raising people from the dead. He went about doing good. His whole, no man spake like this man, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is important because of the subject of the gospel, our great and mighty God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And why else is the Great Commission important? Well, it's important because people are going to hell. Amen. If they don't get saved, they're going to burn in hell. And you find a preacher's trying to air condition and redecorate and renovate hell, you can be sure he's about to move in. Amen? Because hell's a real place. And people will go there and spend eternity if they don't get born again. Amen? The Bible says in hell they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In hell the smoke of your torment ascendeth up forever and ever. In hell they have no rest day nor night. You ever have a restless night? How would you like to have a restless eternity? Amen. Hell's a real place. It's a terrible place. The Bible says the rich man is in hell and is in torment. And why did that rich man end up in hell? He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because his priorities weren't straight. He put the things of this world before God, and he died, and he went to hell. So hell's real. So that's another reason why we need to get the gospel out. Because people need to prepare to meet their God. Amen. And so he says here in Acts 1:8, he gives the Great Commission. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. For the first thing we need to carry out the Great Commission, we need the Holy Ghost. Amen. I like that song that you guys sang tonight. Give me that old time power, that old time Pentecostal power. Amen. That's what we need today. We need the power of God upon our preaching and teaching and our witnessing. We need to pray and beg God to give us His power that He might fill us with the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about rolling on the floor and babbling and doing weird things. I'm talking about getting the power of God in our lives. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Yeah, of course, we get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Amen. We get all of Him, but sometimes He don't get all of us. Amen. And so we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then what's He say? He says there, ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. Amen. What is that first word there? Ye. What does ye mean? Ye means thee. Amen. Ye means thee. And so God wants us all to be a witness for Him. I don't think God has any secret agents. Amen. You know, before I got saved, I didn't want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about where the best parties were in town, the prettiest girls, the best dope, where I could messed up the worst places. That's what I wanted to talk about. But when I got saved, I wanted to start talking about Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, ye. You know, you ever think of that verse, 1 Corinthians 15:34? The verse goes like this. It says, awake to righteousness. And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You ever think of that verse? Now, number one, you know, it's a sin not to be a witness for the Lord. God says, and sin not, awake to righteousness, and what? Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So, I mean, probably none of us tonight, we're not going to go out and get drunk or get high. Or do any of those kind of things we used to do before we got saved. Some of you did, maybe. I don't know, not all of you. But you know, a lot of times we forget that, you know, sometimes we need to think and say, am I really being a witness for the Lord? Am I being a witness? And then He says, I speak this to your shame. Amen. So shame on us if we're not being a witness for the Lord. Amen. I know that's a hard verse, isn't it? That's a hard verse to take, but it's in there. It's in there. So He says, ye, and then number one, secondly, He says, ye shall be witnesses. What does the word shall mean? Shall, amen. You don't need the Greek to figure that one out, do you? The only Greek I know is a little guy that has a little bakery down there at the corner. That's about the only Greek I know. But He says, ye shall be witnesses. What is shall? It's a command, amen. It's a command. God says, you know, people say, oh, I love Jesus. But are you obeying Him? Are we obeying Him? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Hey, if we're not fishing, we're not following. Amen. And so it's a command. God says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. He says in another place there in John 14:21, He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. What does God mean there? He means when we read that Bible and we begin to do what it says, believe it, number one, and then do what it says, God says he will manifest himself to you. I like that, don't you? You know, Brother Rich, I'm not a Pentecostal here today, but I like to feel the Holy Ghost once in a while. Amen. I like to get that communion of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to go down to the old, by old St. Hilary's anymore and get communion down there, but I like to kind of feel the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. And God says he'll manifest himself to you as you begin to obey him, you know. I like that verse. People say, well, I just don't understand. Stand all this. I don't understand. Witnessing just isn't for me. Well, folks, let me say this. Just get out there and do it and you'll understand it. Amen. Just get out. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. If any man shall do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I remember when I was a missionary to Australia for about 8 years, and I went over there a single man, and I got married. I married an Aussie when I was over there, and she had about 8 years at Tennessee Temple University, Brother Rich. She had religion coming out of her ears. She had about 2 4-year degrees down there, and we got married over there in Australia, after we got married, you know, Saturday came around. It was witnessing time. I said, come, Leslie, get dressed. We're going to go out and knock on a few doors. And she said, you're going to go out and knock on a few doors. I'll stay home and pray for you. I said, no. I said, come on, Leslie, get dressed. We're going to go. We're going to go out and knock on a few doors. And she yielded. Amen. She was a good wife. She said, okay, I'll go, you know. And we went out. We started knocking. We went up the first door and knocked on the door. I said, my name's Joe Marshall. I'm from Grace Baptist Church here in Buna, Queensland. And we're just out witnessing to people, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be 100% sure when they die, they go to heaven and et cetera, you know. And we did a few doors like that. About the fourth door we came to, this little old lady came to the door. You know, we knocked on the door. She came up. She said, yes, may I help you? And I saw my wife was next to me there. I thought, I'm going to put one on her. And I stepped back. I says, my wife's got something to say to you, ma'am. And she said, my name is Leslie Marshall, and we're from the Grace Baptist Church, and we're just out inviting people to church. Do you think you could come? And she said, well, young lady, you're a nice lady. I'll think about it. You know, my wife and I, we walked away from that house, and we were walking down the sidewalk there, and my wife said, I'll kill you when I get home, you know. But, but folks, this is the gospel truth. It wasn't 2 or 3 months later. She was taking one side of the street, and I was taking the other. Amen? Now, I don't know if it was she just wanted to get away from me or what, but anyway, it happened. Amen? But what I'm saying is this. We can do it. Amen? We can do it. How do we do it? Well, practice. You know the old saying, practice makes perfect? Well, that's not in the Bible, but it's a true precept. Amen? And if you can't do it, go with somebody that can. You know, it'll kind of rub off on you, amen. And pretty soon you'll be nudging them, saying, "Let me say something." That's the way it works, amen. So God says, "Ye," it's a personal thing. Ye shall, and then He says, "Be witnesses." We witness. What's a witness? A witness. If you're a witness in court, what is it? You know something, amen. You know something about the case, right? Well, what do we know, folks? We know that Jesus Christ has saved our wretched soul. You know, the guy that's been saved here in this church for even 3 months' time, he knows more about the gospel and the Bible than probably 95% of the United States. Amen? We know. We got knowledge coming out of our ears. We know. We know something. We need, you know, we need to tell it. Amen? Tell it. You know, I believe the best, you know, I believe one of the best things is people say, well, Brother Joe, you know, I got saved at a young age, and I was only saved when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I never was a drunk or a dope head. I never had a dramatic testimony or anything like that. Let me say this. You know, if you were saved when you were 5 or 6 years old on your mother's knee, you got a testimony tonight. Yeah. You got just as good a testimony as some guy that got saved out of heroin addiction. Amen? And we need to tell, just tell them, sir, I don't know, I was just 5 or 6 years old, and my mommy set me on her knee, and she just led me to the Lord, and I just asked Jesus to come in my heart, and sir, it's great to be on your way to heaven. You got a testimony. Even if you're five or six, you got saved when you're five or six, you got a testimony. Don't ever think you don't got a testimony for the Lord. Amen. Because you got one. Amen. And then he says, ye shall be. That's the next word, be. Be a witness. What does that mean, be? Well, you know, be means that, you know, you're a witness all the time. Amen. You know, a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes if I kind of do my duty, I'll go to visitation and get out there and maybe knock on doors for an hour, talk to about five people in that hour, you know, if you're lucky, you know, and think I've done my duty for the week. Amen. I forget about the rest of the week. But folks, witnessing is 24/7. Amen. I mean, we have if you work a job today, that is your mission field. Amen. You know, a lot of churches, they have things on the back of their church. You're entering the mission field. That's true. We walk out of these doors, we're entering the mission field. Amen. And if you work a job, that's your mission field. Amen. You ought to have the attitude, I'm going to win everybody in this job. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean you stand up on the lunch table at the first day and preach a 5-point message on hell. You don't do that. Whoops, I'm going to fall off here, break my leg. But you got to pace yourself. I realize that when you're working for people 15 or 20 years. But when you get the opportunity, tell them a little bit. Amen. When you're at the lunch table eating your lunch, don't waste the boss's time doing it. But when you're in the lunch table or something, tell them a little bit when you have the opportunity. Amen. The job, when we run our errands, amen, we pay for our gas, we buy groceries, and what's the best way to be a witness? Just like Brother Rich said, he got saved how? Reading a gospel tract, amen. I'm a believer in gospel tracts too, amen. Easiest way to witness. If you don't carry gospel tracts with you during the day, in the night, you ain't planning on really doing any witnessing, I don't think. Because gospel tracts opens up the door for witnessing, amen? And it makes it easier. So you pull out that gospel tract. But my wife and I, Brother Rich, we got a garage sale ministry. And guys, that didn't do a garage sale ministry? Well, my wife and I, we don't go bowling or we don't go to the movies and stuff like that. But what we do for recreation is we might go to a garage sales on Friday morning or Saturday morning sometimes. And we'll always carry a bunch of tracts with us. And we'll walk up to the garage sale and say, say, hey, how you doing? And they say, great. And what do they say back? Great, how are you? And we say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. How about yourself? And give them a gospel tract. Amen. You know, guess what? I've never been kicked out of a garage sale. Never. Well, once a lady said, run along, sonny. But I've never been kicked out of a garage sale except for that one time. And why? Well, they want to sell you something. Amen. Sure. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. But it opens up doors. Amen. You give them that guy, and sometimes you can go on a little farther. You guys go to church anywhere? Are you 100% sure if you died, you go to heaven? Have you been born again? Well, what do you mean? Well, has there been a time when Christ changed your life? You heard the gospel and Christ changed your life? You know, you can go on. Amen. Yes. Carry on. Get things in your life that you can use to be a witness for the Lord. Amen. That'll build your confidence, you know. And have things to say that'll build your confidence, you know. And do things like that. That's a good way to be a witness for the Lord. Different things in daily life. Ye shall be witnesses. And then he says unto me, and we know what that's about. It's about for Jesus. Witnessing for Jesus. Talking about Jesus. There's something about that name, amen, Jesus. There's something about that name, amen. You know, these big sports stars, you know, they get up there and they claim to be a Christian, but they're always talking about God. Oh, God did this. God, well, a Muslim, he can get up there and talk about God, amen. I mean, a Buddhist, he can get up there and talk about God. I don't know, they got a God? I think they do, something like that. Anyway, but there's something about that name, Jesus, amen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus said, whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You know what I used to think that verse meant? I used to think that verse meant, if we're ashamed of Jesus down here, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we walk up to Christ, and we fall flat on our face, and we see Him, He's going to be ashamed of us if we were ashamed of Him. He's going, oh, I'm ashamed of you, because you never were a witness for me. I'm ashamed. I thought the Lord was going to say that. But you know, the more I looked at that verse, I realized that's not talking about saved people. That's talking about lost people. Amen. That's talking about lost people. You look at the context of that. That's talking about lost people. I'll be ashamed of them. Jesus, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, I know we don't all have to be D.L. Moody's and Charles Spurgeon's and Brother Rich and stuff. But you know, God wants us to be a witness for Him. Amen? Yeah. He wants us to be a witness for Him. And then He says, I like the sign ministry. Amen? I like getting them signs out. You know, if you're not a good witness verbally, it's a getting the gospel sign out in your front yard is one of the best ways to witness. It is. You know, folks, there's nobody, just like Brother Rich said tonight, nobody gets saved without the Word of God. Amen? If you're here tonight, you got saved because of the Word of God. You either had the Word of God preached to you, you saw the Word of God, you read the Word of God. Somehow the Word of God had an integral part in your salvation. That's why the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of God. Laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Amen? It's a light that shineth in a dark place. Amen? And we've got a sign out in our front yard. We live on a fairly busy street, right up from the high school and the grade school and the junior high down there in Barberton, Ohio. And we got kids coming up the sidewalk there in front of our house. And they'll walk up there. They'll get in front of our sign. And they'll even get up in the yard and they'll take pictures of it and stuff. And they'll get it from different angles. I don't know what they're doing. I think they're putting it on that book face or something, you know. But praise God. Hey, His Word is not bound, amen? And it won't return void, amen? And He's going to prosper in the thing where He sent it, amen? All we do is get it out there. Real quick, go to John chapter 4. Let me teach you a great truth in witnessing here. I always try to relate this truth. John chapter 4, Jesus is talking about sowing and reaping. And this will encourage you to keep witnessing and keep sowing the seed of the Word of God. In John chapter 4, the context, Jesus just got done winning the woman at the well there in verse 31. And they went to get Him some food, and they brought the food back. And it says, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. And He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought aught to eat? Jesus said to them, my meat is the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not either yet four months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. Now watch this now. Jesus begins to teach on sowing and reaping. And He says, he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Now watch this now. He says this, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Now, in 38 there, who are the other men that labored? The sowers or the reapers? The sowers, right? He says, other men labored, and the reaper entered into the sower's labor. I like that, don't you? You know why I like that? We can all sow the Word of God, amen? We can all sow that. You put this Word out in your front yard, it's going to keep working 24/7. You ain't got to get out there and encourage it. Keep going, Word. Keep going. Keep going. No, it's going to keep working. Amen. 24/7, it's going to be doing His work. And when people see the Word of God, whether you give them a tract, whether you witness to them verbally, whether you preach to them from the pulpit, whether you put scriptures out in your front yard or on the bumper of your car, if they see that Word and later on they get saved, guess what? You had a part in their salvation. Amen. The reaper enters into the sower's labor. A lot of times us Baptists, you know, we try to give the glory to all the reapers. You know, it's all about reaping. But you know, there's more to soul winning than just reaping. Amen. You know, when you play a game of football, you know, there's more to football than just running over the goal line. Amen. There's the defense and there's the offense and all that stuff goes. Well, that's the same thing with soul winning. Amen. There's more to soul winning than just winning people to the Lord. Amen. There's that sowing and that planting and that praying and that witnessing, and all those go into it. Amen. And if that person ever gets saved, you entered into their salvation. Amen. That's a great encouragement for us, folks. Because many times we get discouraged. I don't know about you, but I get discouraged sometimes. You know, you witness to your mom, and I mean, not my mom and dad, but your relatives and your friends, and very few of them want to come to Christ. And you say, wow, you know, is this really worth it? But it is, folks. You know, people say, it's worth it. If one person gets saved, it's worth it. Hey. Let me say this. That sounds good, and it is good, but it's worth it every time you witness to somebody. Amen? Every time you pass out a gospel tract. Every time you put the Word of God out in your front yard. It's worth it, folks. You can't take the gospel to the wrong place. Amen? It's worth it. So I believe that. Amen? I got a story. I'm going to close with this. Let me tell you a story about this guy. There was a man named Francis Dixon, and he was a great preacher in England back around the turn of the century. He traveled all around the world preaching. And he was down in Australia one time, and he was down in Sydney preaching. And a man came forward and got saved in his service. And he was talking to him after the service. He asked him, why'd you come here today? He says, well, sir, he says, I was walking down George Street one day, and this little old man with white hair popped out and said, are you 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? I'd like you to think about that. And he said, I couldn't get those words out of my head. Amen. And I came down here to this church today and I got saved. Pastor Dixon said, that's great. That's tremendous. You know, then he went over to Adelaide and he was preaching there, and a woman came forward in the service and she got saved. And he was talking to her after the service. He says, oh, you know, why did you come here today? Well, sir, I was over in Sydney, Australia one time, and I was walking down George Street, and a little old man popped out, and he gave me a gospel tract, and he said, are you 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven? Are you sure? I'd like you to think about that. And he said, I couldn't get those words out of my head. And he says, I came here today to this service. I don't know how I got here, but I came here and I got saved. Amen. And Dixon said, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. And then he was over in Perth preaching, and he went out to lunch with a deacon there. And he asked the deacon, he says, he asked him how he got saved, his testimony. And the deacon said, well, he said, I was over in Sydney one day. I was walking down George Street, and a little old man with white hair came up to me and he witnessed to me, and he said, are you 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven? He said, I'd like you to think about that. He said, I couldn't get those words out of my head, and I got saved, and now I'm winning souls, and I'm a deacon in the local church. Well, about that time, Dixon, he's scratching his head. What's going on here, you know? And so he went back to England at the Keswick Conference there. 7,000 people in attendance. And he was preaching, and he gave this testimony to these three people that got saved because of this old man's witness. And after the service, six people came forward and testified that the same exact thing happened to them over on George Street in Sydney, Australia. Dixon, man, he's really scratching his head now. So then he went to India. He was preaching over in India at a mission conference. And he was talking to this Indian missionary after it happened, after he preached. And he asked the Indian missionary, how'd you get saved? Well, he said, I was working for the ambassador of India. And I was in Sydney, Australia. And I was walking down George Street one day. And a little old man with white hair came up to me and gave me a gospel tract and asked me if I was 100% sure if I died I'd go to him. I'd like you to think about that, if you would please, sir. And he said, I couldn't get those words out of my head, and I went back to India and I sought out a missionary and I got saved, and now I'm a missionary and I'm serving God and I'm winning souls. Well, wasn't long after that he was in Barbados. How do you say that? Barbados or Barbados or something? What is it?
Barbados.
Yeah. I like sixth grade, so good. I stayed there 2 years. Amen. But Barbados, and he was there, and he had three Indian men come forward after the service, and he was talking to them, and they gave the same testimony. They were walking down George Street, a little old man came up to him, witnessed to him, and later on they got saved. And by this time, Dixon, he's just so, totally perplexed, you know. And he was over in America preaching. And after he preached, he went out to dinner with one of the chaplain there. He asked the chaplain, he says, "Chaplain," he says, "how did you get saved?" And the chaplain said, "Well, I'll tell you, Pastor Dixon, I was over in Australia one day," and Dixon said, "Wait a minute, hold it, don't say any more. I know, you were walking down George Street, and a little old man with white hair came up and gave you a tract and said, are you sure when you died you'd go to heaven, and later on you got saved." And the chaplain said, "You're right, how'd you know that?" And Dixon said, "Well, I just kind of figured it, you know." But, you know, by that time, Dixon said, "You know what?" He says, I got to meet this guy." And he had a meeting over in some meetings over in Australia, and he got down there to Sydney, and he asked a pastor down there, "Do you know a little old man that witnesses down on George Street and gives, you know, witnesses to people and stuff and passes out gospel tracts and stuff?" And he said, "Yeah, I know him. His name's Gwynn Hall." He said, "Do you mind if we go over there and see him?" And they said, "Sure, I'll take you over." And he took Pastor Dixon over there to his house. He had a little old rickety house, you know this. And they knocked on the door, and this little old man came to the door, and he was pretty feeble. They could see that the old man probably didn't have much time to live. And they said, "Mr. Hall, do you mind if we come in and talk to you for a minute?" And he said, "Sure." He said, "Come on in." And they went in and sit down and says, "Mr. Hall, the reason we came over here today is," Dixon said, "I have traveled all around the world, and I ran into person after person that's gotten saved because of your testimony down there on George Street." And about that time, Gwynn Hall, he just busted out in tears, and he was crying and sobbing. And Dixon said, "Sir, I hope I haven't offended you." And Mr. Hall said, "No," he said, "sir, you haven't offended me. But I want to tell you this, I was a sailor, a mean, no good sailor. And God saved me one day out on the seven seas, and I was pretty old at that time. And he saved me from a wicked lifestyle. And I made a commitment to the Lord that I was going to try to witness to 10 people every day for the rest of my life." And he said, "From that day till this, I've tried to do that. But up till now, I never knew that anything came to it." And folks, someday. Yeah. And you know, that Gwynn Hall, he wasn't, Mr. Gwynn Hall, he wasn't much down here on this earth. Amen. But when he gets to heaven, he's going to have a hero's welcome. Amen? A hero's welcome. Let's bow our head and pray.